do sermons forever on these two. We'll see how we go, shall we? The story of the woman at the well comes around every year. And as last week, when we heard the story of Nicodemus, it's a story to start with of a conversation between Jesus and another person. A conversation that starts with literal, but then gets mixed up between the literal and the spiritual. With Jesus starting to speak of spiritual things, and the person with whom he's having the dialogue being stuck in the literal world. How are you going to get water? You haven't even got a bucket, type part of the conversation. But there's contrast between this story and that one, in the last one from last week, in who Jesus was conversing with. So last week we see Jesus going to Nicodemus coming to Jesus. A Pharisee, a leader, someone on the Jewish council, someone respected and well thought of, you know, in the in crowd. This week, Jesus is speaking to exactly the opposite. Speaking to a Samaritan. And we read, well, Jews have nothing to do with Samaritans. Not only that, but speaking to a Samaritan woman. We read again, the disciples were astonished to find him speaking to a woman. Not only that, but some commentators suggest a woman of poor social standing, an outcast, because of the way she lived her life. That's why she came at noon when it was hot to draw the water and not in a cooler times of day when others might be. So Jesus goes to someone that across several social barriers. He reaches out to the one of the least likely people you might have a conversation with. I think that shows us and tells us the contrast is that Jesus will reach out and is for everyone. Jesus is not just for one type of people. Jesus reaches across barriers. He breaks down taboos. And Jesus is for all. And he offers everyone a way into his kingdom. And that's what his conversation was about. He starts by asking for a drink. And the conversation unfolds until Jesus says these words. If I can find it. The water that I will give you will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The water I give, if they drink that, they will never be thirsty. The promise of something wonderful in God's kingdom that Jesus alone can give. And we read in Romans about how Jesus went on to achieve that. We read that because of Jesus, through Jesus Christ, we have peace with God. Through Jesus, we've obtained access to his grace in which we stand and our hope of sharing his glory. And we've done that because of what Jesus has done for us. Jesus took the first step. He didn't ask us to change. He didn't ask us to clean up our act. But while we were still sinners, while we were doing whatever we did, while we were whoever we were, he showed his love for us by dying. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And through his death, we have the promise of that eternal life. We have been reconciled with God. The reconciliation above all reconciliations. How much more will we be saved by him? And because of that, we are not alone. As we read here in verse 5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. Jesus took the first step, didn't ask anything of us. Whoever we are, whatever we might have done, Christ died for us so we can be reconciled to God. We can know God, we can be known by God. And receive the promise of eternity in him. That living water welling up inside us in a surge of a spring to eternal life. And we have that continued spiritual connection to help us remain reconciled and to help us try and receive that living water. So back to the story. Jesus says, go, call your husband, knowing full well the woman at the well didn't currently have a husband. And that conversation unfolds about Jesus telling her all about her life history, culminating in the conversation that kind of goes, I know the Messiah is coming soon. And Jesus says, I am he. That's me. And she goes off back to the town, and all the town people come out. So despite her being a social outcast, they still listened to her and came out to see Jesus and stayed with him for two days. And they came to their own understanding. They talked to Jesus, and they too came to the understanding that he was the Messiah, the Savior of the world. It's no longer because of what you said that we believe. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this really is the Savior of the world. They've come to their own understanding of who Jesus is. And of course, that's the same for each of us today, isn't it? We each have to come to our own understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus' death and resurrection means for each of us. We can be told, we can hear stories, we can be explained a lot of times, but it's us coming to our own understanding of who Jesus is and what he means for us that affects our lives and makes us want to change. And the offer is still open. Anyone who drinks of the water that I give will never be thirsty in the spiritual sense. That we're filled with the Spirit and having them a well of water gushing up, the spring of eternal life. So have you availed yourself of the offer of Jesus, of the living water? Do you want to? Do you want to follow Jesus because of what he's done for us and help live a life for him to help his kingdom along? Because for those of us who have believed, who have accepted Jesus as Lord, as King of Kings, as our Savior, do we feel full of the living water? Looking around at you now, we don't particularly look full. Do we feel full of the living water refreshing us? It's hard to feel full of living water, of being refreshed, of running water, of something gushing up inside us, leading to the wellspring of eternal life every minute, every day, isn't it? We get busy. We get stressed. We worry about all sorts of things, about different people, different situations. That takes our focus off Jesus. And I've heard elsewhere, we leak. We're leaky people. So we end up, without thinking about it, running on almost empty, running dry and trying to do things in our own strength without the power of God, without the living water of the Holy Spirit within us, giving that strength and that ability to keep going and to be re-energized. That's why during Lent, it's important we think about our relationship with God. How much time do we spend with God or thinking about God? How much closer do we want to walk with God on a day by day? How much do we want God to be part of our thinking and our everyday presence? And that's why it's important to take up good habits in terms of spending time in whichever way energizes you, thinking about God. For some, that may just be reading the Bible or reading notes. For some, it may be praying. For some, it may be walking out in the sunshine, if you can ever find it, in the glory of God's creation, or a mixture of all that. But it's taking time to keep going back to the source, keep going back to the fountain of the water, to refresh and re-drink and refill and re-energize so that we are better equipped and better prepared to go out and offer the kingdom of Jesus to other people that do not yet know him, through what we do, through what we say, by showing love to others. And the more we are filled with that Spirit, and the more we feel connected with God, the better able we are, without realizing, to share his love and show his love to others all around us. If you want a place to start this week, you couldn't do any worse than reading that passage from Romans and thinking about it every day. Because we've been reconciled to God through his love. He loves us so much, he sent his son to die for us without asking us to change, just as we were. And through that, we are reconciled with God. We can know God, be known by God. We can pray to God and have prayers will be answered. And we have the privilege of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, welling up as a spring of water to lead us to eternal life and to help us lead others on their journey. 3 weeks left. Take the time in Lent to find ways of drawing closer to God and being more aware of God and being better ambassadors.